here. Amen. And thankful for another opportunity to be in the presence of God. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 22. While you're turning there, I want to give honor to Brother and Sister Marshall. Amen. Love and appreciate him so much. Open up this pulpit to us one more time. Amen. I just want to tell you, church, you have, amen, one of the kindest pastors in Pentecost. Amen. You are blessed with one of the best. Amen. And I mean that tonight. Amen. We appreciate him. I don't know him very well, but I'm looking forward to, amen, a long relationship with him. Amen. Amen. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. It's just been so good to be here in Sepulpa. Amen. Every accommodation they've done for us made us feel so just right at home. That's how I like it. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. It's so good to be here. Amen. The book of Genesis, chapter number 22. I want to read to you one verse there, verse number 9. And then we're going to turn over 4 chapters of 26 and read one more verse of scripture there. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. I feel the anointing of God when I talk to us. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 9, the Bible says, "And when they came to the place where God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood." Amen. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture that we all know. And this is where, amen, Abraham took Isaac up the mountain to sacrifice him before God. And the Bible says he laid Isaac, his son, upon the altar. In chapter number 26, in verse 18, the Bible says, "And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them." We see 4 chapters later, after, amen, the incredible thing that God done on the mountaintop. Amen. There was a ram for the sacrifice. We see here that Abraham has now passed on. Isaac had the mandate and the duty to unstop the wells of his father. And he named those wells, amen, and called the names after the names that his father called them. And for the next few moments, I don't want to take advantage of your time. I'm going to be very conscious of that. Amen. But I want to preach to you on this thought, the forgotten ministry of Isaac. The forgotten ministry of Isaac. Amen. Why don't we lift up our hands all over this house and ask the Holy Ghost to touch us. God, I love you, Lord. I thank you, God, for your power. Oh, come on, let's lift up our voice right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, God, we love you. We magnify you, Lord. God, let the Holy Ghost have his way in this house. Amen. If you want God to have his way, you are to worship him right now. In the name of Jesus. God, we want you to come down in this house and commune with us. God, we want you to talk to us in this house. Hallelujah. Is there anybody that has that desire right now? In the name of Jesus. God, we love you. We thank you, God, for what we feel. But God, we're expecting to go deeper in the name of Jesus. God, we want to go deeper than we've ever been. God, we want to go higher than we've ever been. In the name of Jesus. God, we want to climb in this house. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You can be seated all over the house. I would like to give you a disclaimer. Amen. I'm not teaching tonight, but it might sound like it a little bit. But I'm telling you, I feel this in the Holy Ghost for right now where we're at in this revival. And God wants to talk to every single one of us in this house. Amen. The reason I named this message, the forgotten ministry of Isaac. Amen. The forgotten ministry, really the reason why, amen, we went with this, I went with this, is because people tend on forgetting, amen, the things in life that do not bring self-gain, or things that will promote you to a higher level. Amen. Let's face it, we are all more out to do something when we know there's a return coming our way. Amen. That's not a bad thing at all times. Amen. But we all appreciate it when we get paid for what we do. Or there's a return, amen, for our efforts. It's hard to get motivated in things when there's not much of a return coming our way. Amen. And if your boss told you you wouldn't get paid for the next month, just keep on coming to work. Keep on. And it would be hard for you, amen, to get there on time and give your A game and do your best because, amen, there's nothing there that is motivating you. Amen. And that's not wrong. Trust me. Listen to me tonight. Amen. I'm not shaming that tonight, but for the sake of where we're going, I want to make this very plain. But I am thankful that when we do the work of God, no matter how big or small that may be, that benefits His kingdom, the kingdom of God, God's kingdom will always come with a return. Amen. It does not matter what you do, how big you think it is or how small you think it is. Amen. God will always give you a return. Hallelujah. It might not be in the form that you would like it, but God will always give you a return. His word will never return void. Hallelujah. Amen. I want us to remember that. There's times when we're in the house of God doing the things of God, doing this is in the church tonight. I felt this in the Holy Ghost that God wants to work on our character. God wants to work on us tonight. And it's hard for us to sometimes think that there's big eyes and little me's in the church. Amen. But I want to tell you, we are all on the same board tonight. We are all working towards the same goal tonight, and that's making it to heaven. Amen. It doesn't matter if you're the one that sweeps the foyer or you're the one that does whatever it is. Amen. There's always going to be return with the house of God. Amen. That's why we should never judge ourselves among ourselves. Amen. Everybody doing a little equals a lot in the house of God. Hallelujah. It's easy. Amen. For our flesh to get in the way. Hallelujah. It's easy for our pride to get in the way and say, I'm not doing as much as they're doing. I'm not getting what they're getting. Hallelujah. And in times, and trust me, I'm preaching to myself tonight. Amen. It's easy to do those things and there not be much of a return that you expect. And it's easy for you to say, well, I will just quit what I'm doing. Or I'll just sit here and do my bare minimum for God. Hallelujah. Amen. And really, when God began to work on me with this, amen, I started talking, I started feeling out and started praying about the life of Isaac. I started feeling out him, and it's really applicable to every one of our lives. Amen. No matter how big or how great or how small you think you are. Amen. But before we step in to the life of Isaac, I want to, amen, and break a few things down with you in the book of Genesis. I know this will be very familiar, amen, information that I'm going to give you. But for the sake of where we're going, amen, I want you to tune in with me. Hallelujah. Can we do that tonight? Hell, I really feel like God is taking us somewhere tonight. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You can break down the book of Genesis into six groups of people, six main characters, if you please. We can take the book of Genesis. First people that we would think of would be Adam and Eve. The second one would be Noah. And then it would be Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph.
Joseph. That would be the six main groups of people that we could probably, I know there's people that have different situations and different outlooks, but amen, for the sake of where we're going, just trust me on this. I want to talk to you about Adam and Eve. They were the first fruits of mankind. Adam did not come from a woman, but he came from the dust of the ground. And God breathed into his nostrils. Amen. Life in his heart began to beat for the very first time. Amen. This was God's first man. And Eve did not come from a woman, but she came from the rib of a man. And they were the first ones to ever hear the voice of God. They were the first ones to ever commune with God in the cool of the afternoon. History would tell us, stories would tell us that Adam was very smart. He named all the animals. He named every the fowls of the air. Everything that we see, and he began to name. And God had a special anointing on his first fruit. God had a special work for Adam and Eve. And the Bible says that Eve was the mother of all living. God put a special touch on these two people. And then even though we know the outcome of Adam and Eve, even though we know that there was a falling away from God, regardless, they were still God's first. They were the ones that God wanted to put their hands on. And God, he was the very first one. Amen. That he did not come into the world the same way we did. But God formed him with his own hands and breathed life into him. A very special person in the Word of God. The very first ones to hear his voice. Amen. They were very important in the kingdom of God. They were very important in the Word of God. We've heard Adam and Eve preach every single way that it ever can be preached. We've heard it from the good and from the bad. Amen. Because it's so applicable to our lives. And we will continue to hear this story preached. Amen. Until God comes back after his church. Hallelujah. Please stay with me. Amen. But let's continue through the book of Genesis. Amen. The next person that we get to. Amen. This will be the very first person that we would really see God use. The very first person that God would use would be Noah. Amen. In the midst of a world of sin, the Bible says in Genesis 6 and 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There was judgment coming to the earth, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and through his obedience of building an ark the exact way that God told him to build it, a man that was able to listen to God, a man that was able to be used of God. As judgment was coming, he built an ark exactly like God told him to build it. And he was trying to get every person he could, amen, on the boat. But we know, amen, the only ones that got on the boat was his immediate family. Amen, we see that God spares Noah from the judgment of God. And that God floods the earth, amen, for the very first and only time. But God made a covenant with Noah. Hallelujah, you still with me? Amen, I promise when we get there, we're going to wrap it up so fast your head will spin. Hallelujah. Amen, but finally we see through the obedience of Noah, we see that he saves his family because he found grace in the eyes of God. And that we see that since he's done that, God made a covenant with Noah. You know it very familiar. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 9, verse 13, the Bible says, I do set my bow in the cloud, and in it shall be the token of my covenant between me and the earth, between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. Amen. What an incredible story of the book of, of the life of the story of Noah, of the obedience. Amen. And of the bow, the rainbow. Amen. He said, this is my covenant through your obedience and through letting me use you. Noah, that I'm going to put this bow in the earth. I'm going to put this Amen. What do you think about it? Amen. What a mighty man that God puts a rainbow in the sky in the remembrance of this man for generations and generations and generations to come. What a powerful man in the Word of God. Then finally, we get to Abraham. I would say, Brother Marshall, one of the most preached about men in the Word of God. Amen. Him and David probably were in a very tight race. Amen. We've heard so many preaching on Abraham. We see in Genesis chapter 12 that God starts a new era with mankind. Amen. He sets Abraham up to be the model for the rest of the world. After Noah, the world began to multiply. And without people being connected to God and ignoring the covenant of God, the earth gets back in the same condition that it was before he flooded the earth. We see that sin is raging, and then God calls Abraham out, and he says, Abraham, I want to do to you, and I want to show the world that through you, everybody can be blessed. Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and let everybody know that I can bless them. Abraham, I want you to be the model. Abraham, I want you to be the example. Hallelujah, what a mighty man that God chose to use. The Bible says, and now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto the land that I will show you. And I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee. It sounds like God's buttering him up pretty good. He says, Abraham, if you'll leave your family, he says, I'll make a great nation. I will bless thee. I will make your name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless him that bless thee. And to curse him that curseth thee. He said, Abraham, amen, you just do the work of God. And I'm going to have your back. Every person that blesses you, I'm going to every person you bless, I'm going to bless. Every person that blesses you, I'm going to bless him. Amen. That's why I don't have a problem blessing the man of God. Because I know when I bless the man of God, God is going to bless me. But if I begin to curse the man of God, then God is going to curse me. Even because he's a model for our life. That was pretty good preaching right there. That wouldn't even be my notes. Amen. I love my man of God. I don't know about you. Hallelujah. I can't make it without my man of God. Hell, you start messing with my man of God, you're messing with me. You start messing with my man of God, you're trying to cut my blessings off. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we see that God, amen, is showing Abraham. Amen. Brother Marsh, it'd be easy when God calls us out. When God gets us a step in the ministry, if he would have gave us this pretty good quote. Amen. If he would have gave us this, say, hey, amen, I need you to step out. I got your back. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. It would have been easy if we would all hear that. But God had a special anointing on Abraham. And we see for the next 9 chapters, up until the birth of Isaac, we see several conversations between God and Abraham. God is leading Abraham, and Abraham is following. We see a leading and a following. Amen. We see someone, amen, that can be led. Amen. Someone that can be a follower. And God is guiding him into a new life. He was God's handpicked. Amen. And he was like Adam. He was the one that God chose out of the midst of a world of sin that God wanted to use as a model. And he pulled him out of his family and out of a world of sin. And what a man, what a man, what a character to better walk away from a world of sin and say, I'm going to follow a God that I really don't know. Amen. What a mighty man he was. Amen. It's so important. Amen. Abraham was so impacting on the Word of God. Amen. That we hear about him on a constant basis in our pulpits today. Amen. He was such a powerful man of God in the Word of God that the very first verse in the New Testament talks about Abraham. Just to show up and show us how exactly he impacted the world. Just to show us how he impacted. Amen. The Old Testament, the Bible says, Matthew 1:1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David and the son of Abraham. Hallelujah. We know that a door swings on two hinges. And I believe that's what the book of the Old Testament swung on. The Old Testament swung on two men, and that was Abraham and David. The mighty men that we hear so much preaching about. But finally, are you still with me tonight? Amen. I'm moving, I promise. Amen. Finally, we get to Genesis chapter 17. Amen. You don't have to wonder where I started my life. I've been in Genesis. Praise God. If you just start your devotion, you just start. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We see finally in Genesis chapter 17, we see the name change. Bible says in Genesis 17, and one, the Bible says that Abraham was 90 years old and 9, and the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face and talked, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall my name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. You can look up the word Abram. That name means high father. But when he made his name Abraham, that means the father of a great multitude. We see here now, several chapters later, from chapter 12 to chapter 17, we see that God is continuing to lift up Abraham. We see that God is continuing to give him assurance that he's going to be great. God is continuing to tell him, amen, stay faithful and stay with me, that I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to put your name in the lights, and thy seed will be like the stars of the heavens. Amen. He was a mighty man. And I want to skip Isaac and come back there and drive my nail home. Amen. But I want to talk to you about Jacob, another mighty man that we hear about in the Word of God. Jacob was a supplanter. He was a cheater. But yet he got the blessings of God, and he was determined to make something out of himself. Amen. He was determined to live for God, no matter how he started. Amen. That's good preaching that we've heard so many times. It doesn't matter how you start, but it's how you finish. He might have started a cheater, but he finished a victor. Amen. It doesn't matter what you start on. It just matters how you finish your walk with God. Hallelujah. He was someone that was determined. He had a grit in his spirit. He knew that he really wanted to live for God, and it took him several mistakes to get there. But finally, Brother Marshall, he got there. And we hear this preached so many times in the Word of God. Amen. We can see one example in Genesis chapter 32, verse 24. The Bible says, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of the joint. And he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go. Amen. This is that determination that he had. He said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? Here, stick with me for just a moment. Here we see another name change in the Word of God. He said, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Amen. This is a form of repentance in Jacob's life. Wrestling with an angel at an altar, mind you. And the angel asked, what is your name? And it's a form of repentance. Him saying, my name is Jacob. I'm a cheater. I'm a supplanter. I hadn't done everything I was supposed to do. I didn't make all the right decisions. He begins to repent. And the Bible says, and he said, thy name shall be no more called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, thou hast power with God and with man, and hast prevailed. Amen. What a mighty thing that God can do with you when you can learn to repent of your sins. When he learned to repent, he said, that's right. He said, your name is going to be Israel, and you're going to be a prince. The next word out of God's mouth was, you're going to be a prince. I'm going to use you. You're going to be a mighty man in my kingdom. And God changes his name because of the determination that he had to live for God. I want to tell you something in my church. It doesn't matter, amen, what kind of cards you were dealt. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there ain't a devil in hell that can stop you from coming to the house of God. Come on, there's not a situation that can make you backslide. But if you'll make up in your mind, I'm going to live for God.
Hallelujah. 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 What a mighty man he was. Hallelujah. Is there anybody in this house with a made up mind? I'm going to tell you something in 2020. You better have a made up mind to live for God, because there's going to be temptations after temptations. There's going to be handouts after handouts for you to take a lesser walk, for you to take an easier way out. But you better have a made up mind that I'm in this for the long haul. I'm in this until I take my last breath. I'm in this until the trumpet sound.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These are the kind of men that God uses.
Hallelujah.
And then you can be seated. I'm quickly. Then we get to Joseph. And what a mighty man he was. What a mighty child he was. His brothers are jealous of him from the very beginning of his life. Amen. Joseph, he was a dreamer. God gave him dreams from a young age. He was his father's son of his old age. And he was his favorite son. He was the one he loved above all of his sons. But yet, through all of his problems, we see his daddy in him. For being sold into slavery, being cheated by Potiphar's wife, amen. Being forgotten by the butler. Through all of this, he stays faithful to God. There's a determination in his spirit that God put in him from a young age. Hallelujah! That it don't matter how much negative comes my way, I'm going to live for God. Hallelujah! Amen. And we see with him staying faithful to God. Amen. And finally, after several years in bondage, several years going through, amen, all the chaos and the worries and the regret and everything he went through, finally we see that his faithfulness paid off to God. And he became second in command of Egypt. And he literally saved the world. Amen. He saved the world. He was the one that God used to show mercy to Egypt.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He was a tool that God used every day of his life. And his whole life became an instrument that God used. What a mighty man he was. We've heard so many stories about these men that I have told you about tonight. We've heard all the just about every way that you can preach it, we've heard it preached. And rightly so, we're going to continue to hear it. Amen. But what I want to talk to you tonight about is Isaac. Amen. What about Isaac? What was the mighty things that Isaac done? We hear a lot of preaching on all these men. But I would say, Brother Marshall, the least that we hear about is Isaac. The very least of the ones of the mighty men of the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings that we'd hear about, would be this man called Isaac. In Genesis chapter 21, he was born. In Genesis chapter 22, he was laid on an altar. We read that in your hearing. In Genesis 23, his mother, Sarah, dies. In Genesis chapter 24, Isaac gets married. In Genesis chapter 25, Abraham dies. In Genesis chapter 26, God tells Isaac not to go to Egypt and to stop his father's wells. And in the middle of all of this, we don't see a lot of big things happen through these chapters. But finally, in chapter 26, we finally see that God talks to Isaac. And God reaffirms his father through him. And not just through Isaac himself, but it's through his father. He never gets to be his own man. He never gets to be himself.
And finally, when he obeys God, and he does not go to Egypt, and he unstops his father's wells that the enemy has stopped up. Finally, Isaac is starting to get some momentum in life. Finally, he's starting to get some traction. Amen. Brother Jerry's finally getting into his prime of what he would call his ministry. But quickly, for some reason, we see that the Word of God quickly forgets about Isaac, and it turns to Jacob and Esau. Quickly, in the middle of all this, starting with chapter 27, there's a complete change in the story of the book of Genesis. Amen. This is why we don't hear a lot of preaching about Isaac. This is why we don't hear a lot about him. We hear plenty on Adam and Eve, on Noah, Abraham, Jacob, and Joseph, and Moses, and King David, and the disciples, and John the Baptist. We hear all this great preaching on them, but for some reason, we don't hear a lot about Isaac. We don't hear the most preaching about Isaac. Amen. Most of us would say that Isaac was part of the plan of God, but he was insignificant. But I want to tell you tonight, amen, this is where I'm growing. If you'll give me just a few more minutes, amen, God's going to do something in this house. But Isaac, I want to tell you tonight, he was very important in the plan of God. Amen. The things that Isaac done, they were not popular, but it was essential for the furthering of God's kingdom. The things that Isaac done, they were not popular, but they were essential to God. Amen. I want to tell you tonight, from Genesis chapter 22, there has to be somebody in this house that can learn to lay on an altar. There has to be somebody in this house that can learn to pray. There has to be somebody in this house that'll get a desire in your bones to pray like you've never prayed in your life. Amen. You want to have a strong church? It's going to be a church that is full of Isaacs that know how to pray. It's going to be a church that is full of Isaacs that say, you know what, I will lay on the altar and I will sacrifice myself for revival. I'm not interested in a church full of talent. What God is looking for in this church is a church that is full of prayer warriors. What God is wanting is a church that knows how to pray. Hallelujah. Just as much as Jacob and Isaac was not popular, this kind of preaching is not popular. But hey, if you want real revival, I'm going to give you real preaching. Amen. We don't need no more talent in Pentecost. What we need is some prayer warriors. We need some people that know to come to the house of God and lay on an altar for your family. We need some people that know how to pray and stand in the gap for a guy on a lost world. In the name of Jesus, he called. Hallelujah! I'm telling you right now, apostolic Pentecostals of Sepulpa, the only way we're going to have revival is when we can learn to stand in the gap and pray for the burdens of the people of this city. Oh yeah, when you can learn to pray for somebody other than yourself. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I'm telling you right now. Prayer warriors are popular. I want to tell you something. People that know how to pray, amen, are used in the kingdom of God. Amen. I want to tell you, prayers work. You know what prayer is? When you grab your flesh by the neck of the neck and say, I'm not going to do what you want to do, but I'm going to get to the house of God and I'm going to pray. Hallelujah. We want Isaac in this house. Hallelujah, Brother Jerry. Preachers get popular, but a prayer warrior will never get popular. I'm going to tell you right now, and if you're the ones, watch the Holy Ghost, if you're the ones in this church looking for a pat on the back, then you will never be an Isaac. But if you want to be somebody that the conduit of the Holy Ghost can work through, you got to become an Isaac. Amen. You're not going to get a pat on the back being a prayer warrior. But I'm telling you, God will back you up. God will answer your prayers. God will fill this church up. God will change the atmosphere of this city when this church is full of ISIS.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I want to ask, when the last time you prayed through your flesh and you begin to travail in the Spirit? Come on, we've been having some good church around here, but God wants to stretch us. We've got to have better church around here. When's the last time you prayed through and you were talking in tongues uncontrollably? That's what God's looking for in this house. When's the last time you got so deep in prayer that you left drunk in the Holy Ghost? When's the last time? Oh, that's what Isaac's for. Isaac's are not popular. I said, Isaac's, don't get a pat on the back. But if the church is going to be healthy, it's got to be full of Isaac's.
Oh, yes.
I want to tell you tonight, my life's desire is not to preach beyond my years, but what I want to do for the kingdom of God, Brother Marshall, is I want to be able to pray beyond my years. I'm not interested in being a good preacher. What I want to be is a prayer warrior for God. I want to be able to travail in the Spirit. I want to be used in the supernatural. Oh, y'all are sitting on top of my regardless of you being elevated, amen, you've got to learn to lay on an altar. I'm going to tell you right now in the Holy Ghost, the only way God's going to use you is when you become a willing vessel for God.
I'm thinking of the story going up the mountain. And we got a young man, and he was probably about around my age. He was probably in the 20s, and he got his old daddy. He got a grandpa of a daddy. If he wanted to jump off that altar, stop his daddy in the mouth, and run down and say he's crazy, he could have done it. But you know what he was? He was a willing vessel that God could work through. And he said, you know what? I don't understand. I see a knife that you got to put through my chest, but that okay, because I want to be a vessel, because I want God to use me, and I'm telling you, he sat there.
I'm talking about a young man that watched his daddy tie rope around his arms to an old wooden altar. He put a fire there, got it ready, got the kindling ready, and he sat there willingly. Think of the story, put yourself in the story. He sat there, a young man that had a life ahead of him. He had a wife coming his way. He had kids coming his way. He had ambitions. He had a whole life to live. He could have said, hey, bro, come on, Dad. Your life's over. You've already done everything you're supposed to do. I got a life to live. Let me put you on the altar. But no, God had a word for Isaac. God had to beat the humility into him. God had to get the pride out of him and say, you got to let your daddy tie you to an altar. And you got to become a vessel for God. Isaac, you hear me in the Holy Ghost? Isaac was not praised for what he done. Oh, God. I'm going to tell you, church in the Holy Ghost, if we don't become a church full of willing vessels, we'll never have revival. The Bible, you hear me, Holy Ghost, the Bible doesn't even give Isaac credit for the things he's done. Abram was mentioned 311 times in the Word of God. Jacob was mentioned 377 times in the Word of God. And this excludes all the times he was called Israel. Isaac was only mentioned in the Word of God 132 times. with nobody talking about Isaac. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I'm telling you, I'm talking to people in this house that you're doing things from God and you feel like you're so alone. You feel like nobody appreciates what you're doing. But I'm telling you, if you'll just be a willing vessel for this house, Pastor may never pat you on the back. Pastor never may call your name from this pulpit. But I'm telling you, you are a vessel that God wants. I'm telling you, you are a vessel that God wants to work through. Amen. I'm telling you right now in the Holy Ghost. Amen. You got to become a willing vessel in this house. It ain't about talent. It's about becoming a willing vessel that you're able to lay on an altar and you're able to pray. Amen. I'm telling you, church, we got to learn to pray. Oh, the Holy Ghost. Amen. If we'll just come to the piano for just a moment, we'll skip so much. Amen. Forgive me. We're not even going to make it to chapter 26 of Him Unstopping Wales. Amen. But if the Holy Ghost allows me, we're going to get there maybe tomorrow night if God lets us. Amen. But I'm telling you, I feel the Holy Ghost so strong in this house. Amen. Your name might not ever be in lights. Amen. But I'm telling you, you got to be an Isaac. Amen. I want to tell you right now, it's so important to be an Isaac. I'm going to tell you in the Holy Ghost, Isaac could have been so insecure. Human nature, still human nature. Isaac could have looked at his life, brother, after his daddy's gone and he sees his son doing his thing. Brother, at the end of his life, he could have said, you know what, God? Where was my bone? I see the great thing that you've done through Abraham, my daddy. You've changed his name. And now, God, I see all the great things you're doing through Jacob. You made an Israel. You named my people. You changed his name. But God, what about me? What about me, God? Where's my place in your kingdom? I'm telling you right now, we would have never got to Jacob. Let me tell you what Jacob was. Jacob was Israel. The children of Israel, that's the masses. That's the revival. That's the 3 million people that came out with a high hand out of Egypt. That's the masses that God wants to put in this church. And you hear me in the Holy Ghost. We'll never get to the revival. We'll never get to the masses if we don't have a Isaac that the Holy Ghost can work through and say, it's not about my name. It's not about my title. It's not about an office. It's all it's about is being a vessel that God can work through. And you could see so many times in the Word of God. The Bible says the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How many times, I didn't have time to look it up this afternoon, but so many times you've heard the Bible says the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. This is after Isaac's done died. I wonder if he knew how many times the Bible said Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that he was right in the middle of God's plan. But I'm telling you, you got to become a willing vessel in this house. You got to become a willing vessel in this house. You got to make up in your mind tonight, I'm living for God the rest of my life. No matter if anybody ever passes, and this is going to be my last thing, and we're going to sing and pray. He could have looked and said, you know what? Abraham had a name change. You know why God changed his name? It's because he pulled him out of world sin. He pulled him out. He didn't know who God was. He pulled him out of the world. And he had to change his name. You know why he changed Jacob's name? Because Jacob was a backslidden. And Jacob was a cheater. He says, I got to wipe that off of you. Because if you're going to be a part of my plan, if you're going to be a part of my kingdom, you can't be a cheater. You can't be a supplanter. You're going to be Israel from now on. I'm going to tell you, you don't have to backslide to get a testimony. You want to know why God never changed Isaac's name? It's because he never wavered. God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, I know the Holy Ghost. Oh, come on, I'm telling you right now, what God wants in this church is for you to be balanced, you to be faithful, and you to be consistent. It doesn't matter how good you are, how much money you got, if you're not balanced, if you're not faithful, and if you're not consistent, God cannot use you. You don't have to leave the world. You don't have to go to the world to get a ministry. You don't have to go to the world and come back. You can be an Isaac in this house. It's just, I'm never leaving your house. God, if I never leave Sepulchre, God, if I never do anything mighty, God, I'm going to be a vessel. God, I'm going to be a willing vessel that you can work for. Isaac felt useless, but he was powerful. Isaac felt forgotten, but God had him in the plan. Not everybody can be Abraham. Not everybody can be Jacob. But you hear me in the Holy Ghost. We all gotta be Isaacs. Don't forget your place in the kingdom of God. Don't forget your ministry. We gotta have somebody back in the pews.